It's time now for the complete story with Dick Bott, a public news and information feature of Bott Radio Network, to keep you informed about the most important issues of our day. Now, here is Dick Bott with today's complete story.
Well, this chapter of the complete story, once again, is for our listeners in the state of Missouri, because we're going to be talking about the state and its problems and how we can elect people that will give us better leadership, in some cases than we've had in the past. But it's always better to reach upward and deeper and more meaningful. And I think that the reason that we're in a problem that we have in America, but also in the state of Missouri, is because the leadership sometimes has been too accommodating of things that should not have been accepted. But anyway, our guest on this chapter, the complete story, is Cynthia Davis, who is running for, in the primary elections, Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri. And Cynthia used to be a Missouri representative in the 19th district at St. Charles County over in the St. Louis part of the state. But regardless of where you live in the state of Missouri now, well, you're going to want to get to know this person, because if she is going to be your Lieutenant Governor, well, you need to know something about her. And make your own assessment. But the reason that I like Cynthia Davis is some of the same reasons that I liked Ronald Reagan. Tell you what, it takes a person of courage to stand up against the tide and say no when even the party leadership, you know, wants you to go along. There's a lot of that, and it isn't just with the Democrats. It's also with the Republicans. When the party leadership says, come on now, you got to play ball. You got to vote for this because of that, and you got to vote for this because this is the way, on and on and on. There are very few people, and Ronald Reagan was certainly one of those who knew what it was to say no. There was a U.S. congressman from the state of Illinois one time, you know, Henry Hyde, and he certainly knew that when it came to pro-life issues and things like that. But trying to think of that congressman, well, I'll think of his name in just a minute. He was known as Senator No. That's right. He was a senator. Jesse Helms, that was his name. Why, the liberals, they named him Senator No, because he stood on principle. And Jesse Helms was one of the most loved U.S. senators that you could ever imagine, because he knew what a principle is, and he didn't violate it. And so if he stood alone, that was okay. He still was comfortable in his own convictions. And that's the way Cynthia Davis impressed me when she was a state rep. She was able to stand on principle. Whether you always agreed 100% or not, you knew that you had someone you could count on. And so, Cynthia, it's wonderful to have you as a guest on this chapter, The Complete Story, for our entire Missouri listening audience.
And it's a pleasure to be with you likewise. Thank you so much.
Well, now, this time here in the statewide office, you know, you have decided to throw your hat in the ring, and not as a Republican. I guess some of the Republican leadership, maybe they find that you're a little too conservative or something here, but tell us about yourself and why you're running and how you're running.
Well, let's define the terms. The reason I became a Republican is because I thought that stood for limited government and protecting the taxpayers and our conservative values. And then after spending 8 years in the Missouri House, and before that, in addition to that, I was a Republican committee woman. I was the chairman of the Central Committee in St. Charles County, and the women's clubs and all of this, the Pachyderms clubs, all of this I did because I believed we could reform the party from within. And if the party ever were going to be reformed, it would have been reformed by now. I believe the best opportunity we had was when Ronald Reagan was president. And if you just observe the direction the nation is headed, we're going off the edge of the cliff. And why are we doing that in Missouri, which is a state that has the Republicans running it?
Yeah, well, you make a good point, of course. My mind is just going a mile a minute there. I was thinking, you know, there was that one time, I remember vividly, when Ronald Reagan, then he brought a whole humongous stack of papers that represented the budget in that particular year, and he was kind of angry as he was addressing the full session of Congress, and he said, all right, he said, I'll sign it this time, but never again, never again. And another thing, he said, you know, a nation without borders is not a nation. And I was thinking that it was too many of the members of his own party, as well as certainly the Democrats and the liberals, why they just kind of always wanted to run to the center. They wanted to run to the point of accommodation of everything under the sun, because we should have taken the Reagan years and built on them. Are you listening, folks? Built on them, not allowing that momentum and those times, those principles that were attained to digress and to go back. And now look what we've got. And now let's confine this to the state of Missouri. There's no reason under the sun why the state of Missouri cannot balance its budget and why it can't take the taxes they're already collecting from the people and do a jolly well good job of running the state. But that isn't the case. So everybody is running around. We need more money. We need more money. We need to hire more government employees, state government employees, and on and on and on. And maybe this is a time, Cynthia Davis, when the people are willing and anxious to say no. And so your voice is going to be very important.
Well, think about it this way. If you went to a car dealership and you were going to buy a car, both you and the dealer know you're going to buy whatever car they have on that given day. You're not going to get the best price, and you're not going to get the best car. And that's exactly what the Republican Party has done to us, is they know we'll vote for whoever the Republican is. And so they're putting up people like John McCain and Mitt Romney, and they're problems with that. We get up to the ballot in November, and all the good candidates are getting flushed out in August. Then we have a choice between once the son of perdition or twice the son of perdition. Which one do you want?
You sound like a Bible person.
Well, you know, I'm observing.
Well, you're right. You're right. You're right. I mean, my word, if it wasn't for Sarah Palin getting into that race, poor John McCain, I always said, how can you prop up a corpse, for goodness sake? I mean, talk about an empty suit, and his campaign was done until Sarah Palin came along and gave him a little life. But the problem is when you have weak leadership or you have failed policies and the whole idea of what government is about and what government is for, and a strict constitutionalist, well, you end up with problems. Whether you put a D in front of it or an R in front of it really doesn't matter.
And I'm going to say something that I believe your listeners will understand, but the Christians have been used by the Republican Party like the battered wife syndrome. They know that we'll go back to them time and time again, no matter how they treat us, whether they... Why are we still, as taxpayers, funding Planned Parenthood? Ask me, answer that one.
In the state of Missouri.
Well, we're not theoretically doing it, but it's the shell game. So we're giving it to groups. Certainly Washington, D.C. is still funding Planned Parenthood, and that's with the Republicans passing more continuing resolutions, raising the debt ceiling. We're going the wrong direction. And as long as they know that we'll eat whatever they sell us, we're going to be doomed.
Well, that's true. I tell you, that's what really irks me. There are those behind closed doors and smoke-filled rooms that do the picking and the choosing who is going to be the Republican nominee for any office. I mean, somehow they play the game very, very well, and it's not a nice game. And then the people have no choice. You know, when I was just listening to you talk, the battered wife syndrome, of course. I mean, keep going back over and over and over again because someone else has made the choice. And that, of course, is exactly what is happening. But this isn't pick on Republican Day, and this isn't beat up on Republican Day, but it's a whole principle of the thing. So apparently now you have decided, phooey, I'm going to run then for lieutenant governor of the state of Missouri, and if the Republicans think I'm too conservative, so be it. Is that the way it kind of came down?
Well, I spent 8 years in the Missouri House trying to push legislation that would get us parental rights, that would protect the taxpayers, and ideas that would set a tone for honest and moral conduct. And we have to fight to lower our taxes or they will keep going up. And every one of these times I was fighting with people in my own party and we accomplished precious little. So I'm asking you to think bigger. Why can't we, you know, if you're unfamiliar with the parental rights bill, all it says is it's the natural and fundamental right of parents to direct the care, upbringing, and nurture of their children. And that should be a no-brainer, but apparently it's above their pay grade.
Well, what's the controversy about it? I mean, I'm honestly here, you know, a little naive in this, but tell me, what's the controversy about it then?
Well, there are people who just believe that parents in Missouri are lousy, and therefore we need government to step in and intrude into our families. And if we pass something that says parents have the right, then we're going to go down that path where parents will have the right to do anything. And it's really patently evil that they won't pass it. That shows what's wrong with the mentality of some of these legislators. But there's a bigger problem yet, and that's the money and the power. Because I believe a lot of good people get elected to office, and then they get caught up in the soup. And there are many who know what they're doing. They put on their conservative clothes during the election season, and after they get into office, they ignore it, forget it. It becomes irrelevant. They do whatever they want. And part of this problem is related to all the money and power, because once they get elected, then they get focused on how do I get reelected. And both parties are guilty of it.
And the party leadership will say, well, the only way you're going to get reelected is if you play ball with us.
I mean,
that's the way it goes. It becomes inside baseball then right away, doesn't it?
Very quickly. And that's what's polluted the system.
See, Cynthia, that's interesting because it was during the days of Ronald Reagan that I kind of came alive and realized there are certain things, and this is a long time ago, folks, realize there are certain things, there are certain value systems, there are certain principles at play here. And let me just address this a little bit, Cynthia, and see what you think about it. Because it really, when it boils right down to it, it's not Democrat versus Republican, to the individual voter. What it is based on, what is your value system? Exactly. The worth of the individual to gain and fail as opposed to the all-encompassing, overriding, safety net of government that obviously it takes money. Bigger and bigger government takes more and more money out of the people's pockets. But it really is, do you want individual freedom with individual responsibility and very limited government, or do you want to look over time to the government for everything, including raising your kids, and then somehow say, how do we get in this mess? What say you?
I appreciate that, because I'll tell you, unless we have somebody who's willing to stand up and shine the light and say this is what's going on, people won't have the inside knowledge. I've seen the ugly underbelly of politics. I've been there. I wasn't just in a front row seat. I was actually in the ring. And it's not pretty. But how are we going to clean it up unless good people are willing to stand up and do something about it?
Well, they can certainly stand up and at least be informed and study it and then decide this is the candidate I'm going to vote for.
And I don't have a vested interest in protecting any political party. For me, it's about doing what's right. That's what it comes down to. If we have good people who stand up for what's right, we're going to guide the line. Now, I send out my Capitol report every week as a state representative trying to help people understand the dynamics of what we're doing to ourselves. And so, see, sometimes people feel like they need to protect their party, but we need to protect the principles, because that's what made this country great. We need to go back to the original recipe that made us strong in the beginning, and that was built on the Constitution. That the Constitution's what limits government and what helps us frame the role of each jurisdiction. And when we get back to that, we'll get back to the greatness of this country as it was originally designed.
You know, Cynthia, see, I'm an old-timer, but going back to the 1960s and the 1970s, I knew a gentleman who was a Missouri state judge, and he was a good one. And he was just one honest, fine Christian man, kind of a Harry Truman sort of a guy, I guess, but maybe more so. And I remember he was a Democrat. And I remember there came a time when he said, Dick, he said, I didn't walk away from my party. My party walked away from me. Now, that took courage for him to say that, because it is very, very seductive for a person to be drawn into going along with things that really stand for principles that they don't agree with. But little by little, that can happen to anyone. And you are one of these difficult people that are just not going to go along with everything that comes down the road, regardless of who calls you to do that. I guess this is what's so intriguing, Cynthia Davis, about you running now for the statewide office in Missouri of lieutenant governor. And then see if you can get your message out to the people, and then they can really study what it is you stand for. Let me ask you this, Cynthia Davis. Now, we are finding now, and people across the state should know this, that after year after year after year, after decade, the Kansas City School District cannot get their act together. And too often that is the same case with the St. Louis School District. And then they want to blame it on the kids. They want to say, well, these kids are poor kids. These kids are dumb kids. These kids can't learn. Nonsense. I have always felt a five-year-old is a five-year-old is a five-year-old. It's what the system does in taking that little kid and awakening their mind and showing them exactly how to learn and what to know and giving them a great education that produces a job-ready citizen. But how would you address it? Don't you think that this is time to correct a failed and broken school system by giving the parents the choice, not the zip code, but giving the parents the choice how to spend their voucher or their certificate or whatever else you want to call it, so it puts the schools on notice. You've got to compete with everyone else to get these kids up and job ready for adult life.
And I agree with you. I've always been a big school choice proponent. But here's the question I'd like to ask you. Why is it that the Republicans have been in charge for 9 years this year with a supermajority in both chambers, and they can't get any school choice authorization done?
Well,
why?
Well, let's look to Wisconsin for that. I mean, the teachers' union in the state of Missouri is very, very powerful. The way I know that is that I had been involved in a couple of skirmishes in the past, you know, and I had to kind of sort it out and say, what's going on here? What's wrong? Do you remember a few years ago there was a form of a school credit? What was it, you know, that as I remember, Cynthia, and you'll know it very, very well, I think Senator Jane Cunningham, I know, had her hand in this too, that if a child was in a failing school for the third year, and the child then was failing him or herself, why, then they would have the right to transfer to a better school, and there was people, companies, and corporations that were going to make that possible for that to happen. And do you know the teachers' union absolutely, they went crazy. They didn't want that legislation to pass at all. But then I found that some of the conservative Republican House members, they voted against it also. And when I did quite an extensive telephone survey to just talk to them and say, why did you vote against it? And you know what I found? In those cases, the teachers' union got to them and said, now listen, you've got it pretty good here in your rural town, in your rural area. Don't worry about it. But if you don't vote against the passage of this, we're going to put someone to run against you in the next election. And so out of fear and out of concern for their own skin, why, then they voted against what they clearly knew was a good thing for Missouri kids and certainly St. Louis and Kansas City. So that's the way the game was played. It sure was an eye-opener to me.
And it will always be played that way until we get some honesty in the system. So this is why I have to run for lieutenant governor. I will hold both parties accountable, and it will be the perfect position for me to be in, because I'm willing to do what it has to take to create some balance and let people know what's going on. The voters got the shaft in that deal. There is no excuse why we're taking this again and again every year. How many lifetimes are we going to give up? Those kids are growing up and graduated before the ones that were in kindergarten when this started. I mean, we're ruining their lives by not allowing them to have choice. And so it's a matter of taking the bull by the horns and being honest and having the integrity to do what your conscience tells you is right. So call me the designated driver in a room full of drunks.
Cynthia, you're a plain-spoken person. I want our listeners also know a little bit more about who you are, because you and your husband, you started years and years ago operating a Christian bookstore in the St. Louis area. And you've got your kids involved in it. I mean, your family, believe me, your family has not gone unparented by their mother or their father. Your family is the example, in my own opinion, of what every family should be. Your kids have always known they have a mother and a father, and they are involved in what the family is doing. Am I inaccurate in putting it that way?
24 years ago, my husband and I asked, what is something O'Fallon needs that it doesn't have that would raise the moral fiber of the community? And at that time, my husband was a truck driver listening to Bot Radio Network every day. And it changed his life. He found Christ. He wanted to do something to make a difference. So we opened up Back to Basics Christian Bookstore in O'Fallon. And we were so excited about our opportunity to impact the culture. That's what this has always been about. And then from that, I got involved with the O'Fallon Board of Aldermen. And from there, I went to state government. But it always has been, how can we impact our culture for good? That's the whole quest that every Christian ought to be asking ourselves,
yeah,
and every good citizen. So I do set, my website is votecynthia.com, and I have a newsletter that I send out every week. And what I do is I interpret government for people, and I match it up with the principles that made this country great, which are the constitutional principles. It matters. You know, the Constitution was based on the Bible.
It certainly was based on the principle of the Bible, and I'll tell you this, if people in Missouri don't understand that, and really, you've never then been in the great rotunda of the state capitol in Jefferson City, because you can just walk through the state capitol, especially the great rotunda, and you can just see what the state was founded upon in the earliest times, and how strong it is, and absolutely, the state constitution in Missouri, you see, the principles of the Bible were a part of it. Now, did they follow it? No. And were they flawed in their application of it? No. We are human beings that are trying to find our way, and those who are saying, we trust God to lead us to do what is right as opposed to what is expedient. That's where progress is made. So I guess, Cynthia, I feel to a large extent what many people are feeling today. Give us anything other than same old political clubbiness, where we all get together behind closed doors and smoke-filled rooms, and figure it out and let the people learn about it after the fact.
Well, I'm giving the voters an opportunity to get off their lazy boy chairs and not, they don't have to wring their hands anymore and say, isn't that disgusting that our government is going off the wrong track? This is our chance to mobilize, come together, and do something to make a dramatic difference like this nation has never seen before. And I say this nation because if I win this seat, it will send nationwide ripples throughout the whole country. People will say, oh, yes, there are people with values who do care about doing the right thing. There are people who can get elected and actually get in there and make a difference and be true to themselves and what they said they were going to do. So I urge you to vote. Go to votecynthia.com. You'll learn all kinds of other things that we're doing. We've got the most exciting campaign I've ever been part of. And I've been on the ballot 18 times in my life, but this campaign is the granddaddy of them all. And we're going all over the state. I'm touring every city, coming to a city near you. You're going to hear more from me and of me. We're doing fundraisers everywhere, and we're going to prove a point to both Republicans and Democrats that people really want honest government now.
Well, tell me this. You're not opposed to speaking wherever people want to hear you speak. I assume you'll speak at a Republican meeting or any other kind of meeting when they want to hear what you have to say about what you think is important.
I'm going through every door God opens for me. I just ask you to, and I'm asking the Lord to open more doors, because it is amazing what He can do. And when this campaign is over, you're going to know God did it.
Now, let me ask you this, Cynthia. Man, the time is going by so quickly, but it isn't whether or not a church is going to endorse you. That isn't the question, but there's no reason why a church cannot ask you to come and speak about what you think and what you believe, and whether it's a group of pastors or maybe someone gathering in a church or anything else. This is the way America was founded, and there's nothing wrong with that. The church doesn't officially endorse you in any way, but you can speak anywhere, can't you?
Yes, I'm here to encourage people, and because we need hope. We've so often the Christians have kind of given up, and they've said, it will never get better, so let's just build our hunker barracks and hunker down and brace for the worst. Here's the point. If you want to stay in your church focusing on just worshiping God and evangelizing.
Oh, don't say just. Don't say just. That's a good thing. Trouble is a lot of people are not worshiping God. They're just playing house.
Well, that's true. I agree with you. But let me make a point that the people, if we don't pay attention to what's happening to our government, we're going to lose the right to worship God and evangelize. Like in communist countries, they don't have that public ability anymore. And so we need to keep the door open for our values and our beliefs and our rights that we already have and hang on to them. You know, the squatters' laws have proven that we've lost ground. The Christians in this country have lost a lot of ground just in the last couple decades, and it's because we acquiesced. We let the other side say, you can't do stuff anymore, and so we said, oh, gee whiz, I guess we can't do stuff anymore, and that's not serving us well. Being pushed into the corner is causing more problems. We need to be brave, be bold, stand up for what's right, and stand on God's
truth. All right, now in the closing moments here, I want you to tell me very quickly, maybe 1 minute or less, what can the lieutenant governor do to make the case?
The lieutenant governor has the opportunity to become governor if the governor ever leaves the state or cannot fulfill his responsibilities. But the best part is I get the platform back where I can engage in the debate over bills that the Senate is having. I can preside over the Senate, and I can break ties. And the best part is we need a spokesperson who will stand up for the citizens, somebody who really does care about our values and will make sure we know what's happening.
So I'm kind of thinking in my mind, one of the big things you get then is the bully pulpit.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
I mean, you see, and that's true, folks, and that's so effective. Lieutenant Governor has the right to use the bully pulpit to speak about these things that are right and just and true. And here you have a person who absolutely is more than willing to do so. Cynthia Davis, has been so much fun interviewing you. We've got to do this some more. I think our listeners deserve to get to know a lot more about you. Give us your website again.
It's votecynthia.com.
For the state of Missouri, this is Dick Bott with this chapter of The Complete Story, and I'll see you later.